Well, greetings everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Exciting, extremely consequential, and wide-ranging decisions have been made in Europe as I speak. And I dare to say that many still don't quite understand the consequences which have ensued and will ensue based on those decisions. Now, before I go into that, I like to go back and read to you from a few articles which were published this week leading to those decisions, and I hope that you will stay tuned. I will do a lot of reading today, but I think it's important that we understand and see the big picture as to what is happening and why is it happening and how this is in line with biblical prophecy. Let me first of all read to you from an article which was published by the Associated Press and also USA Today on December 3. Talking about the fact that Germany must lead Europe, it says, for more than half a century, the legacy of World War II has meant that the mere mention of a new rise of German power sent shudders through European nations. Now, Germany is increasingly calling the shots for the entire continent, and few seem to mind. And then it goes on to say that all eyes are trained on Germany, by far Europe's biggest economy, to lead the continent out of crisis. Austrian Chancellor Werner Freimann, whose nation often lives in the shadow of its giant northern neighbor, dismissed out of hand any worries about renewed German dominance. And then it goes on to say that Europeans seem increasingly inclined to support Germany's leadership, or at least to go along with it. The paper The Local, which actually is published in Sweden, had this to say on December 8. Germany dubbed Master of Europe. Germany is emerging as the Master of Europe, the article goes on to say. For the first time in the history of the EU, Germany is the unquestioned leader and France is number two. Under intense pressure to deal with the contagious debt crisis, European governments are moving towards radical changes on the road to fiscal, economic, and, note this, political union. Political union. Der Spiegel Online wrote an article dated December 5 entitled Britain Infuriates Europe. It says the British government is trying to obstruct the establishment of a common EU foreign and security policy. The formation of an autonomous military headquarters, now listen to this very carefully, failed last week after Britain alone resisted the move. The government of Conservative Prime Minister David Cameron has also been preventing the EU from issuing joint statements in international organizations. Now, mind this, this was published on December 5. It goes on to say Pierre Vimont, the Secretary General of the European External Action Service, has complained privately that London has blocked a total of 96 EU statements. It goes on to say that tensions between Britain and other members of the EU have grown in the euro crisis. Well, as I will show you in a moment, they haven't just grown, they have reached a climax. But here's an article by the New York Times, dated December 3, talking about that it's not just Europe which is upset with Britain, but Iran is upset with Britain as well, more so than with any other countries in the world. It says here, if there's one country on earth where the cry, death to England, still carries weight, where people still harbor the white-hot hatred of British colonialism that once inflamed millions from South Africa to China, that country would be Iran. And then this very interesting article goes into the reasons as to why that is. Now, let's talk about the events of the last 2 days. Here is what the Daily Mail wrote on December 9. David Cameron was this afternoon returning from Brussels after sparking a furious debate over Britain's future in the European Union by refusing to sign up to a treaty to save the single currency. That's the British viewpoint. The EU Observer added on December 9, a group of 26 EU member states is to forge ahead with an intergovernmental agreement following a stormy summit in Brussels that saw the UK sidelined after it overplayed its hand. But now notice what else is being said in this article. The break represents a major symbolic shift for the European Union, which has never before cemented a disagreement so publicly and so thoroughly. And here is the take of the Associated Press, dated December 9, saying, the European Union said Friday that 26 of its 27 member countries are open to joining a new treaty tying their finances together to solve the euro crisis. Only Britain remains opposed, creating a deep rift in the Union. The new agreement and the new rift. Now, if that is not interesting to you, I don't know what is. Because it says this new agreement came on a now clouded anniversary, 20 years to the day after the treaty that led to the creation of the euro was drafted. 20 years to the day when a treaty was drafted, including Britain, now an agreement is being made excluding Britain. Deutsche Welle wrote on December 9, Britain stands alone. Now the outcome essentially means that the 17 Eurozone countries will move ahead without the other member states. Now, other member states have joined, as we have seen, this concept, but it's going to be a treaty or a pact apart from the Lisbon Treaty. And some have said, oh, this might be illegal. Well, do you think in your right mind that any court will look at this, which is supposed to be a solution to the European problem, and say, oh, you can't do that, that's illegal? You would have to live in a dream world to believe that. The New York Times wrote on December 9 that the outcome was a significant defeat for David Cameron. And here's perhaps the most interesting article of all by Der Spiegel Online, dated December 9. It says, we have seen the birth of a two-speed Europe. And then it goes on to say, instead of a legally clean amendment to the Lisbon Treaty, see, which would have required the agreement of all the member states, a separate treaty will now be forged. Britain now stands alone in its rejection of the changes. The summit's outcome will seal the status. Let me repeat this. The summit outcome will seal the status of a two-speed Europe. Back home, Cameron is already being accused of driving his country into isolation. The loss of importance in Europe that Britain has now brought upon itself is not in the country's geopolitical interest. Indeed, its transatlantic partnership with the United States will suffer as a result. In the eyes of politicians in Washington, Britain has been particularly useful because of its ability to assert influence in Brussels. Now notice this carefully. Now, according to this article, because of this conduct by Britain, even the relationship between Britain and the US will suffer. It has already suffered. I recently told you that Britain has stated that African countries would not get AIDS if they are opposing homosexual relationships. Now, the Obama administration just said, oh no, we are going to give them AIDS. In fact, we are going to give them AIDS to promote acceptance of homosexual relationships. Now, this article in Der Spiegel goes on to say, Berlin and Paris haven't heeded the ground rules of diplomacy. Now, they give some reasons as to why Cameron did what he did. It goes on to say they did not seek any compromise with the British and instead stuck the political equivalent of a knife right into Cameron's chest. Were his demands really as unacceptable as Sarkozy portrayed them early Friday morning? Or is it not legitimate? A legitimate right that a country doesn't want to be overruled when it comes to issues pertaining to one of the main branches of its economy. You see, I'm giving you these statements not because I'm taking any position, because I don't, when it comes to the political field or this political landmine. I am just telling you what is happening, and in a few moments I will tell you what it means in the light of biblical prophecy. This article concludes, the pact also represents a shift of power in their favor, that is, Merkel's and Sarkozy's favor, at the EU level. The economic government of leaders of these countries can make decisions via Euro summits and would not need to seek the approval of the European Parliament. Merkel and Sarkozy will likely view that fact as an additional benefit of their approach. So here you have it. You have now the formation of a European entity, at least that is what's being planned to carry out, consisting mainly of the Euro member states, and then others who want to join. But it's going to be the Euro member states which will call all the shots under German leadership, as we have already seen. And Britain is out. Britain is isolated. Britain is not going to be part of it. Britain cannot have any influence any longer. Now, why is it that we have told you years ago that Britain will ultimately not be part of a European entity, a continental European entity as it's now developing? How could we know that? How did we know, and why did we know, that we said uncompromisingly, unwaveringly from day one that the euro is going to be saved, the euro is not going to fail, the euro is going to continue, while others have speculated in different ways? How did we know? Because the Bible tells us this way. And the Bible has told us, and we have proclaimed for years, that Germany is going to lead Europe. And out of the present configuration, there will arise 10 nations or groups of nations, apparently out of the Eurozone. They will still have the euro, you see, and they will become the main power. And they, in turn, will give their power, their authority, to a very charismatic political leader. It's important you understand. It's important you see what is happening right now, how this is all coming to fruition. Now, if you doubt, please do yourself a favor and read some of our booklets which we have published some many years ago. The Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord. Germany in Prophecy. Europe in Prophecy. Our very big booklet on the Book of Revelation. Go to our website, standingwatch.org, and you find all those booklets posted there. You can read them online. You can also ask us for a free copy if you want to have one, but then I encourage you to really study it carefully. Go to the scriptures which are being quoted there. Don't just gloss over them. It's important you understand, because these things will have dramatic consequences for you, no matter where you live. And the Bible shows you, and our literature shows you how and why that is. So thank you very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.